We have a lot of people that are coming to the United States today from different cultures. You ever wondered what a person from another culture might conclude or think as they just observe our culture? What's important to us or what's predominant about us? Just for example, take the cross that is so predominant in the Christian culture. Think about how that cross might be seen from a visitor to this country or a new resident of this country. You see the cross displayed by the side of a road, or you see it displayed on a wall. Sometimes you'll see it displayed around people's necks. It can be a decoration. It can be an ornament. It can be a nice piece of jewelry. Or even, some people might think, it's a religious idol. And as someone looked at the cross, they might conclude, well, the cross is something really pretty and something that is found virtually everywhere. Maybe I should get a cross too. But yet 2,000 years ago, in the culture that Jesus was raised in, no one saw a cross that way. Because to them, the cross was something offensive, something horrible, something that was the last thing you wanted to encounter in your life. Because it was not just a symbol, but it was a reality of the most horrible death that man could ever devise to inflict on someone else. And so that's why when Jesus spoke the words of Luke 9:23, the people must have wondered what in the world he was trying to say when he said to those who would be his followers, "If any man wants to follow after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." What does the cross mean to Christians today? We've taken a look at what the cross means to God, what the cross means to Jesus, what the cross means to Satan. But what does it mean to you and I today? In the words of Jesus in Luke 9:23, we find three very significant things that for those of us who would be followers of Jesus, what the cross and its meaning is for us. The first thing is that the cross means that we have to make a choice about Jesus. Notice that Jesus starts off, "If anyone would come after me." His words remind us that while Jesus willingly gave himself on that cross so we could have the forgiveness of sins that lead into eternal life, God does not force that gift upon us. It is a free gift which we must choose to accept or reject. And the choice is entirely up to us. And that's why, to me, one of the saddest verses in the Bible, in the entire Bible, are the words found in John 6:66. Up to that point, Jesus has been one of the most popular figures. He is the up and rising star in this latest tour of Israel. He has given out free meals. He has raised people. He has healed people. And people are following after him. Who wouldn't want to follow someone who could heal your sickness and your blindness and give you a free meal or two? And so Jesus, just before that verse, he says, "I am the Son of God, the living bread which would come down from heaven. And if anyone would eat of this bread, that they would be free." This radical teaching was hard for the Jews to understand. And the result of saying those words was the words of John 66. Many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Many of his disciples turned back and no longer follow. I want you to think about the reality of those words and what they meant. Up until that point, these people were willing to follow Jesus on their terms, when it was popular to do so, when Jesus did miracles, when he provided the free meals, when he met their needs. But when it came time for taking the next step with Jesus, when it meant making Jesus part of their life, when it meant actually living for Jesus, when it meant becoming his follower no matter what, then they turned away from Jesus. In the words, if anyone would follow me, if anyone would come after me, those words are God's ways of saying, you can choose yourself or my son, but you can't have both. You can choose your sin or your Savior, but you can't have both. You can pursue to live a good life or a godly life, but you can't have both. You can be for me or against me, but there is no middle ground, no sitting on the fence, no living with one foot in each world. Your presence in this worship service indicates that you have or you are in the process of choosing the way of the cross. And for that, I commend you. But having done so, what more does Christ expect out of us who would be his followers today? Notice the second phrase of Luke 9:23, where Jesus says he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. You see, the words there mean that for those who would follow Jesus today means that the cross means we must deny ourselves daily. When Jesus said you must pick up your cross and follow me, those words would have shocked people listening to Jesus. Because the carrying of a cross was the last thing you wanted to see in the days of the Roman Empire. If you saw a person carrying a cross and they're surrounded by a squad of Roman soldiers, it meant one thing only. They were going to their death, and it was going to be a very painful death. As a result of those words, when Jesus said he must deny himself and take up his cross daily, every single person that was listening to Jesus knew exactly what he was saying. That if you become my follower, you must be prepared to die. Now those powerful words in Luke 9:23 remind us why God's grace is free. It is not cheap. Jesus went on to die on the cross to give us his grace. 11 of the 12 original disciples went on to die a horrible death by persecution. And the 12th died in exile alone on an island. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 through 37 tells us what many early Christians experienced for following Jesus. Others were tortured and refused to be released. Some faced jeers and flogging. Others were chained and put into prison. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were put to the death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Throughout the centuries, millions of people who have chosen to follow Christ have become martyrs for the faith, to the point where one early church leader said, "The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." And put that all into perspective, when Franklin Graham and others who are leading the church today around the world say that in this century, the church has experienced more persecution than every other century combined. Today in Syria, for example, the Coptic Christians are almost extinct. You had a country where you had, a few years ago, almost 1 million people were Christians. And let the latest statistics say that less than 10,000 Christians still live in Syria. The rest have been brutally executed or driven out. We read the stories of ISIS and what is happening around the world to Christians. Where on Good Friday, 8 priests were crucified upside down. You can't make up those stories. As we get closer and closer to the day when Christ comes to this earth, the persecution that Scripture talks about is going to be more and more evident. But what does it mean for you and I in the United States right now? Chances are that if we choose to follow Christ, we are not going to be physically persecuted. We will not lose our life or be driven from our homes for making that choice to follow Christ. And so, if we're to follow Him and take up His cross, what is that going to mean for you and I? The clue is found in the words that Jesus says, to deny yourself daily. I think that one thing God is calling you and I is that we have to deny ourselves. We have to either say we will live by the standards of our culture or we are going to live by the standards of Christ. Because our culture rarely uses the words deny yourself anymore. Instead, we're far more likely to hear something like, go ahead, you deserve it. Oh, you can have it all. No credit, no problem. When was the last time a salesman, think about going to buy a car, you go to a dealership and the salesman takes a look at you and says, oh, your car's paid off and it's still in good shape? You know, I think the best thing for you to do, just keep it for a couple more years, make those payments, and that way, when you do have to buy a car 2 or 3 years now, you'll be able to pay it in cash. And, you know, our company won't get any profit. When was the last time a car salesman said that to you? If they did, they'd be gone the next day. You see, in our me-oriented culture, in our very selfish-oriented culture, what do the words deny yourself daily mean? Especially when it comes to Christ and the cross. Does it mean that we are to give everything away and practice a life of simplicity so that we can better focus on the Lord, as some in the Christian realm say we should do? Does it mean we should voluntarily give up something for Lent? I know some people who will sacrifice chocolate for a certain period of time. And for them, it is a real sacrifice. I'm not making fun of it, okay? Well, as admirable as those types of sacrifices are, Paul's words in Romans 6, I think, remind us that God's call for us to sacrifice ourselves daily involves something far more significant. Listen to what Paul tells us. In the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. If there is something about sin that we find attractive, God says put it to death. Don't take that second look. Don't go into that store. Don't do that thing which brings you closer to that which would be sin in your life. He goes on to say, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you can obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of righteousness. But now offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Paul reminds us that we have a battle that wages daily. And he goes on to expound on that in Romans chapter 7, that says that we have a spiritual battle that wages within us, a battle between the old nature of sin and the new nature of righteousness. And so what does it mean for us to deny ourselves? It means that we have to deny that old nature of sin, say no to that which is sin in Scripture, and say yes to that which is righteousness in Scripture. We have to be the ones who make the choice to take a step closer to Jesus rather than a step further away from Him. We have to be the ones who say yes to the things of God and no to the things of this world, no matter how good they may be. I wish I could say, as some preachers seem to indicate, that life with Jesus is going to be easy and wonderful. That if you just follow Jesus, oh, it's going to be great. But that's not the truth. And Paul knew it. He knew it's not enough to make a one-time choice to follow Jesus. But that due to the spiritual battle within us, we have to choose on a daily basis, do we follow Christ or do we follow ourselves? Do we say yes to Jesus and deny ourselves? And so denying ourselves daily means every day for the rest of our life, we make that choice as to who reigns within us. But why should we deny ourselves like this? What's in it for us? After all, we're a very practical, bottom-line people. Well, I want you to consider the reason that Jesus gives us in Luke 9, 24 and 25 when he spoke the words on the cross, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself daily and follow me." He goes on to say, "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his very soul?" Christ's teaching emphasizes that when we choose to live for ourselves, one day we will lose everything that we lived for. But when we choose to live for Christ on a daily basis, one day we will gain everything that we chose to live for. To put it another way, the Bible teaches us that we will reap what we sow. If we choose not to deny ourselves, if we choose to follow the way of this world, we will reap the consequences of those choices, not just for eternity, but in our daily life, as our daily life goes from bad to worse, and as stress and so many other things fill our life. But if we choose to deny our human nature, if we choose to say yes to Jesus, if we choose to walk with Jesus, then regardless of what happens to us by the world, God says we will, on this earth, we will experience the abundant life that He came to give us, and then we pass into the next world, we will experience eternal life. And that's what makes Christianity a win-win situation. Because here's the one thing about it. Jesus didn't die just to give us eternal life. Now, I'm thankful He did. Can you imagine if we would tell a person, you just have to wait for the benefits of your choice for 20, 30, 40, 50 years? Now, Jesus said, you're going to have eternal life. But if you follow me, you're going to have abundant life to begin with. Wow. So, as you go about your daily battle, be encouraged. Don't become weary in choosing to do good. For God promises a harvest of spiritual blessings if we choose to continue to remain faithful from Him. And when we choose to look at the cross from that point of view, as hard as it may be to live for Christ, as hard as it may be to make that one-time choice that might result in persecution, perhaps the hardest part of being a Christian in this culture today is learning to deny ourselves on a daily basis. The third thing that the cross means is that we must follow Jesus wherever He leads us. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. When Christ picked up his cross, there was one destination, and that was the hill of Golgotha, where he was sacrificed. As Christians, we often talk about mountaintop experiences, times where we go to spend with God and we focus on Him one and one, and we gain a great spiritual blessing, and we come back refreshed and re-energized. And as valuable as those times are in our life, I wonder if those mountaintop experiences distort our perception of what the Christian life is really all about. Because while those mountaintop experiences are great, they're not normal. They don't happen every day. And that's why we need to remember that Jesus calls us daily to follow Him. Because we never know when that Golgotha is going to be there for us. It might be today. It might be tomorrow. It might be 10 years from now. But I can guarantee you this. There will be some point in every one of our lives when following Jesus means we must make a very painful, tough decision. And in that moment, that will be our Golgotha. Do we stick with Jesus through the pain? Or do we, like the disciples in John 6:66, walk away from Jesus at that moment? A few years ago, I came across the following story of a Sunday night service at a worship in a church where the pastor introduced an elderly man, and the elderly man went on to tell a story about three men, a father, the son, and a friend of the son. And they were sailing off the California coast, and the father was an experienced sailor. And his son decided to go out with him and invite his friend. And so they're out there just enjoying themselves when one of these freak storms come up. And all of a sudden, waves are just raging. And as capable as a sailor as this man, father is, the boat soon swamps. And all three are hurled out into the sea. The father clings to the boat. And he has a lifeline. And he has to make that choice as to who he's going to throw that rope to. Does he throw it to his son, or does he throw it to his son's friend? And as he gets ready to throw that line out, he says, "I love you, son." And then throws the rope to his son's friend. By the time he hauls the son's friend in, he goes to look for his son, but the waves and the storm is so fierce that his son is now dead and can't be seen. Now, why did he make that decision? Because the father and son were a Christian. And the father knew that one day when his son died, he would see him again in eternity. But he could not bear the thought of his son's friend dying without the chance to be with Christ for all eternity as well. As silence filled the room, the old man concluded his story and said, "How great is God's love that He did the same for us." Then he sat down and the service ended. After the service, two teenagers, much like teenagers to me, a little bit from the hood, a little bit smart aleck, little whatever you want to call it. They came up to the old man. They began to taunt him. They said, you know, that was a great story, but it's just not true. It doesn't happen today. How realistic is that a father's going to sacrifice his son for a son's friend? I mean, and hope that the other boy would one day become a Christian. That just doesn't happen. And the old man replied, you're right. It's not very realistic. But I'm standing here today to tell you that story because it gives a glimpse of what God must have gone through when he gave up his son for us. Because you see, I was the son's friend. Through that story, I'm not suggesting that one day we will have to choose between our child and someone else. But I am suggesting that there is going to come that point in time where someday we have to make that crucial decision about something that's going to be of real consequence to us. And in that moment, do we follow our Golgotha? Do we go all the way through the pain and keep our eyes on Christ? Or do we turn away from Him because it's easier? I've known Christians who have been fired from their jobs because they refused to lie to a customer like their boss told them. I've known Christian contractors who lost bids because they would not underbid a project knowing that that was the practice in the industry and then you pad it after you get the contract. I've known pastors who were fired from their churches because they took a bold stand against sin in their community. On a lesser scale, I've known Christians who have lived a simpler life because they chose to give up some of their finances in order that the kingdom might prosper. I've known Christians who have voluntarily stayed in their homes even when the neighborhood deteriorated, even though they had the money to go elsewhere, because they felt like God was telling them, someone needs to be the salt of the earth and the light of a world in a neighborhood turning darker and darker in sin. I've known Christians who have sacrificed vacation time and finances in order to go on short-term mission trips to other countries. I've known Christians who regularly volunteer in ministries around town in order that others benefit. We could share many more examples. But the point we're trying to make is that there should be times when following Christ means that we deny ourselves. There should be times when following Christ means that we voluntarily give of ourselves so others can benefit. There should be times when we do have to sacrifice in order that God may be honored. When that time comes, we only have two choices. We can choose to live for Christ, or we can walk away from Him. I don't know what happened to those many disciples who walked away from Jesus. But I do know this. There were some who stayed with Him. And because of those who stayed with Him, you and I are in the church today. You and I have the privilege of knowing Jesus. And that, my friends, is my challenge. Will we continue to stay with Jesus so that there are others one day who will be in worship who do know Jesus? Let's pray. Father, what a tough verse Luke 9:23 is. If anyone would follow me, let him pick up his cross and deny himself daily and follow me. Those were tough words 2,000 years ago. And they are just as tough today. May those words challenge us. May they ring in our hearts and in our minds for days and weeks and months after this Sunday is over. And when that time comes, when we must make that stand for you, when we must make that choice for you, may your Holy Spirit bring those words out. Impact our mind and our heart in a whole new way, so that we receive the strength and the courage and the love we need to make that decision to follow you in both small and great ways. Thank you, Lord, for your Son being willing to practice what he preached and encouraging us to walk in his footsteps as well. In his name we pray. Choose to follow Christ. That's the same challenge that God is making for us today. Jeff's going to come forward. He's going to lead us in that invitation hymn. If you have that decision to follow Christ, whether it's for the first time by becoming a Christian, or whether it's by saying you want to be part of a church that will honor Christ as it honors you, let's make that decision. We're going to stand. We encourage you to come forward if you have that decision to make during this invitation hymn.